Good morning, everybody. Okay, you guys aren't awake yet? You know, I got a little confused this morning because I saw the Easter Bunny come up, but she has a thing on her shirt or her outfit that says Merry Christmas. Is that the wrong time of the year, isn't it? Or is this Christmas? We're up too early, aren't we? Unless you're a kid on Christmas, you're up early because it's No, I was thinking about, you know, there's no greater reason to get up this early than to celebrate a risen Savior. Amen? All right, will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this day. It is a great day to celebrate. And I use that word, celebrate, Father, because we serve a risen Savior. And we thank you that you died on the cross for us, but today we celebrate that you rose from the dead. And Lord, I pray that every day we celebrate that with our lives, that we share and show you through our actions, through our everything that we do, that we bring glory and honor to you, Father. Lord, just pray too for people that are still traveling to churches today for Easter, for Resurrection Sunday. Please keep everybody safe and let the messages that they hear today put a little fire underneath them to go out and to proclaim the message that you are alive. Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. He is risen. Oh, there it is. Who do you say I am? And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the greatest question that's been ever asked in all of history. Who do you say I am? Last week was Palm Sunday. That's the triumphal entry. And people there, they're declaring Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And just real quick here, and for those who were in at Style Baptist last week, some of this is going to sound a little familiar to you. Matthew, it says this, it says, they cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Mark tells us, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Luke tells us, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And then over in John, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. They cheered on Jesus like he was a king, a savior for Israel. Further into Matthew's account of the event, the crowd would ask, who is this? What is all this to do about? And their response, the response of those who are praising him as he's coming into the city, they say, this is Jesus. They got that part right. The prophet from Nazareth. So close. Not one of them is actually looking for who Jesus is, but rather they're looking at what he might offer them in the moment. I mean, freedom from a Roman occupation, a return to former glory as a mighty kingdom of Israel. But Jesus didn't come for that. And still, when the Pharisees demanded that that he would silence these people, his response is, if they did, well, the stones would cry out. Now, there's a lot to be said about those stones. There's a question, of course, of whether or not Jesus is talking about actual natural rocks. Is he saying that the rocks, the earth itself, would cry out? After all, if we were to jump over to, say, Romans 8 tells us, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And it talks about how that it yearns and it groans for that moment. But also understand that in the setting, in that moment, as Jesus enters into the city, if you were to look off to the hillside, it would be scattered with stones, sort of. These would be gravestones. See, perhaps Jesus is saying, even the dead know who I am. The dead would cry out. In fact, that's exactly what happened just about a week later. In Matthew, it talks about as Jesus yielded up his spirit, says the tombs were also open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And it's interesting because it's at that moment that the Roman soldiers utter these words, truly, this was the Son of God. It seems to be here that finally somebody gets who he is, and it happens to be the Roman soldiers. Jesus asked the disciples a number of times, who do they say I am? And the people have a lot of interesting ideas. And I would say that people today still have a lot of interesting ideas as to who this Jesus is. What exactly do we have to go by? I mean, what hope is there if the people who could see him at that time didn't have the right answers, and here we are so far removed? John tells us, first off, that the purpose of all of his writings, and for what it's worth, all of Scripture as a whole, it's that they are written so that you may believe. Believe in what? That you may believe that he has life, and life is in his name. So the question still remains, who do you say I am? There are a lot of people out there wanting to tell you who he is. If you were to turn on the History Channel any time this past week, I'm certain that there are a lot of ideas of who he is. I want to tell you this morning who he is. See, first off, he's God. Without that, nothing else matters. He existed before time in unity with God the Father and God the Spirit. Remember, it is in his image, their image, that we are made. See, understand that he existed before time, that Christ came from a place of great exaltation, a great honor. And then he ended up leaving that place, leaving heaven, and he, by doing so, he took on a place of dishonor. You could say that he took on shame as he lowered himself, and he continued to lower himself, not only coming to earth, but also coming in the form of a servant. A servant to his creation, a servant to the thing that was made in his image in the first place. And then he turned around and he died. He died a shameful death on the cross, a death that was suitable for criminals. And yet in all of his obedience, his submission, his love, God the Father raised him. And truly we see that as this act of the triune God, that all three parts played an incredible role. And it's at that point that God the Father bestows upon him a name that is above every name, a name that he is known by. He goes from a place of great honor to a place of lowly shame. And God, it's God who calls him who he is and exalts him to a higher place. In fact, it says that in Philippians. Philippians 2 tells us, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, who in turn, by the way, were made in his image. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, and that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There's your answer. Who do you say I am? Confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, they can call him king, and they can call him prophet, and they can call him whatever. But it's not what we call him that defines him. It's what the Father calls him. Okay, so we're here. It's Easter. And we know that he is risen, and he is risen indeed. We also know this. It's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. 1 Corinthians tells us, for the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. I have to stop, and I think in just recent history here, recent time, recent news, we learn of the death of Stephen Hawking, and not to speak ill of the dead, but here's a man who went to his death proclaiming there is no God. I will let you know that he knows now that that was wrong. Paul returns to this notion in 1 Corinthians. He says, now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can someone say that there is no resurrection of the dead? He's saying, how can we say this is foolishness? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, if that's the case, if we are all here by mistake, if we are all here because there is no God and we are foolish and we are sitting in the cold for no reason whatsoever, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. My time right here, right now is wasted. Your time in church every Sunday is wasted. And your faith is in vain. You've wasted it. For even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ. This is what we stand on. This is what we preach. This is the only reason the church exists today. Whom we did not raise. If he did not raise, if it is not true that he is dead, then the dead are not raised. For the dead, if the dead are not raised, then even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you're still in your sins. Which means they still got to get paid for. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, those people who have gone on to be with the Lord, that we would say, if that's true, if that's the case, then they have just found out that everything was wrong. And if in Christ we have hope, this is what we have. We have hope in this life only. If that's the case, then we are the fools. We are the people most to be pitied. In fact, if we stop and we go back to that psalm, Psalm 14, for the fool says there is no God. Verse 2 tells us, the Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. So we could ask that question, who would understand? Who would be able to answer that question? Who do you say I am? Now, Jesus asked the disciples, who do they say I am? But then he turned the question around and says, who do you say I am? And it's Peter who responds, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, Peter, you're so wise, you're so smart, you figured it out. No. No, he says, I tell you this, you know this because it has been revealed to you by my Father. And this, by the way, was all before the resurrection. Now, Paul says, if there is no resurrection, then we are fools. But he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Actually, Paul's letter to the Corinthians was written around the whole idea that the world is wise and we're foolish. And if it's all about their wisdom and not ours, well, if that's the case, the cross and the resurrection and everything that goes with it, it just doesn't seem to fit. And in that case, then it makes us fools. And Paul would say, then for that, let us be fools for Christ's sake. See, understand this, and I believe you know this, because why would you be sitting in the cold right now? He is king, yes. But he's king of kings. He's Lord of lords. And his name is above all other names. Whatever name that anybody wants to try to give him, his name is above that name. And yet, at the same time, he is completely 100% knowable. And he invites us to know him as he knows you by name. So the greatest question, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And I would tell you this, that I believe that is the greatest question. And yet I believe that the two most exciting words that are found in the scripture come well before the who do you say I am. It's when Jesus comes to his disciples, his soon to be disciples, and he says these words, two simple words, follow me. You'll notice that when he asks them to follow, when he comes to Peter and he comes to John and he says, follow me, he doesn't ask them, who do you say I am first? And if they get the answer right, then they get to follow. No, he says, let me show you who I am. You follow me and I will show you who I am. And we get to that point. You are the Christ, the Son of God. You have life because you are life. Christ would say this morning, I have come back to show you who I am. And he invites us into knowing who he is. He is risen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much. We thank you so much that we have not come to this place because we have figured it out, but that it has been revealed. And that, Father, that you call us to yourself. You call us to be yours. And Father, this morning, I know as Leon has prayed, there are people who are traveling and they are planning and they are preparing to go to church. Some of them perhaps for the first time. Perhaps it's the first time in about a year. And there will be those that are here this morning that will be there because they have been there. Father, I pray that we all come to that same place to know who you are in a deeper way. And that, Father, that this Resurrection Sunday, that, Lord, you would be resurrecting the hearts of your people. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. All right. Well, we just want to encourage you to if you want, you can head on over to Sio Baptist. We have a breakfast there, and at 8 o'clock at the Christian Church, they're having their breakfast, and then of course the service is a little bit later. So have an incredible morning. I hope that you find your fingertips again if they're cold like mine, and have a great day.